Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
In no situation will I be able to go up to Ray Lewis and call him a phony.
Men.
Because he...
And inspiring them to go on and do things.
I mean, because at that point he's just going to pummel me. I don't need that. Jim Dolan, I think I could, in the right situation, I could say something to him. But that was not
Ray
the right
Lewis
situation.
Would not assault you.
Yes, he would.
No, he would
the
not.
Stuff I want to say to him, he would. He'd at least have his friends go after me.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm sorry, my brother.
Yeah, I'm not going to
move
shoot
on.
You.
Keep moving.
Yo, Manny. You just sorry.
And Manny's a good name for a Ray Lewis.
Manolo.
Seriously. Okay. Dan Fouts, a Chargers great, and a guy who has been working for CBS for a while.
We'll see him today.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we will see Dan Fouts today.
But we will.
CBS luncheon. I got to be honest, I don't get as excited about Dan Fouts as I do some of the other guys that are there. I'm used to
who
Dan
are you
now.
Excited about?
Well, we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Yeah. We're going to go the full rundown of the people that we're going to see. Right. I'm most excited about the little sandwiches that will be there. That's what I'm most excited about. But if you really...
The quinoa?
If you really, no, not the quinoa. You know what? I may throw the quinoa out just to save
you
the people
not.
From eating the
you
quinoa.
You better not.
You don't need that quinoa.
Don't you dare do that.
You don't need the quinoa.
That's biscuits. Stuff.
Stay away from the quinoa. Eat the sandwich.
No, you need the quinoa.
So, Dan Fouts is going to have the Chargers back. He's always going to have the Chargers back, and he doesn't like the fact they left San Diego.
Nope.
So now they're playing in the LA Galaxy Stadium, and there's only 27,000 seats called StubHub Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard about how it didn't draw as many fans as the Galaxy game did in a preseason game, 21,000 fans, as opposed to the Galaxy had 25,000 fans. And Dan Fouts said that it's embarrassing that the Chargers are playing there. And because it's Dan Fouts, I understand what he's saying, and I can't be really critical of his comments because he needs to have the Chargers back. He is used to that team being in San Diego. Yeah. It hurts him that they moved.
He's on their broadcast team for the preseason.
Yeah, he's annoyed. Yeah. He's annoyed by it.
Right.
He's annoyed by it. But, I mean, really, is it that big of a deal to the NFL that this is the home of the Chargers in the interim? Is this really a bad look for that organization in the NFL?
It looks like Pop Warner. I mean, you've got a professional team that's going to be playing in this stadium for the next two seasons at least while they erect the new stadium that both the Rams and the Chargers will share. And here's the other deal. They could have gone to the Rose Bowl, possibly. They could have gone to the Coliseum where the Rams play currently. But they were still going to draw about 25,000, 30,000 at the most in an arena. The Coliseum that holds, what, 60,000, 70,000
folks? Yeah, would look terrible.
The Rose Bowl that holds 100,000, it would have looked even worse.
Yeah.
And so you've got a team that's moving up the freeway there from San Diego to the L.A. area, and they have no fan base whatsoever in that community. And so they're trying to attract more fans. If they win in this little soccer stadium, maybe they will do just that. But right now, which looks worse, 21,000 in a 27,000-seat stadium or 21,000 in a 66,000 seat Coliseum or 100,000 seat stadium, the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, and Dan Fouts said that he blames Spanos and the city for this, and it's obvious those are the two parties that allowed this to happen. But I mean, how can you really, if you put yourself in their shoes? I mean, Dean Spanos says, I'm going to make more money in the long term by doing this, and I'm a businessman, and that's what I'm about. I don't want to sit here and lose money. I want to be able to make more money, and I believe that this is the move that's going to allow me to do this. And the people who voted said, I don't want to spend more tax dollars on building a new stadium here. So it was in the best interest of both Spanos and the people who voted for this to say, go.
Yeah.
So it sucks for the Chargers fans that really love the Chargers. It sucks for a guy like Dan Fouts because the nostalgia is now gone, and you're thinking this team is no longer the San Diego Chargers. Yeah, it stinks. But how can you blame either side for doing what they did?
And they've been at the table for a long, long time. Over a decade.
Yeah, this
they've
wasn't
been discussing
in the
Jack
middle of the
Murphy.
Night.
Right. Yeah, Qualcomm. They've been discussing this matter for a long, long time, this stadium issue, and they couldn't come to an agreement. So Spanos had to do what he had to do. This is a business decision, and the NFL sees it as a business decision. In the short term, it's going to be painful. It'll be painful to watch. But in the long term, once they get the new stadium built, they'll be in there, and they'll look like a professional team again.
Yeah, and you know, I don't even know how bad it's going to look, because the NFL TV is NFL on TV is where it's at, right? That's what it is for most people. Yeah, you've got the handful of people in a grand scheme that go to the games, but it's really about what it looks like on television. And when you just have the field and the way that the game is shot normally, are we really going to know? I mean, if they're going to do a ton of crowd shots,
they're not going to do that. Don't pan.
They probably won't.
We just want all 22.
So I mean, is anybody going to be? Wow, that sucks. That's a bad. I mean, I could be wrong. Well, maybe it looks terrible on TV.
Show everything. You can't hide it. You show the entire stadium, and you pan the crowd and all that. So it's going to depend on who they're playing. Let's look at their schedule. First ball game, they're at the Broncos. The first home game. Is the Dolphins come to town. I don't know if that's necessarily going to draw people to StubHub. Then they have the Chiefs. Then the Eagles come to town.
Listen, every game is going to be sold out there.
Yeah.
Every game will be sold out.
I would think. I'm trying to figure which teams would draw the most fans. You know, the Raiders would definitely is going to bring them in.
Yeah.
Because that's Raiders have a big pull down in that area. So when they come to town, that's going to be a huge one.
Did I tell you on the air or off the air about how the newscast there in Las Vegas were referring to the Raiders?
Yes,
as,
I was on the air.
I couldn't believe that. It was your Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, well, it will be eventually.
Yeah, but I mean, in 2 years, they sent a guy to cover the team, too, in the preseason game. The local, I think it was the Fox affiliate, local Fox affiliate, sent a reporter to Cowboys Raiders preseason game in Dallas to cover it and said, "You're Oakland Raiders."
They're owning them already.
In Vegas.
Already. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, that's going to be fascinating when that happens. Because, you know, I hadn't been to Vegas in a decade, and I was only there for a short amount of time over the weekend. But having been back there and just seeing.
When was
that
the last
place
time
again,
you were there?
It was like 2007,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
So right around maybe even 06. So it'd been a while. So just going back there and seeing it, and go. I mean, whoa,
it's changed.
Yeah. I mean, even walking around the T-Mobile Center where the Golden Knights are going to play, that was interesting too. That arena is awesome. I think that arena is just beautiful.
Now they just constructed that recently because I haven't
in less than a year.
Yeah, the last time I was in Vegas was maybe 2012, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, that place
that
is
wasn't
nice.
There then.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool for people to watch some NHL games there. But to have the atmosphere of the NFL game being played there on a Sunday and the sports books, I mean, that's got to be cool.
Did you see where they're going to build the football stadium?
I didn't see that.
Over near Mandalay Bay in that area.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But just thinking about all the road fans that are going to be coming through on those home games, just like the Conor McGregor fans were walking around with the Irish flags, you're just going to see a gazillion jerseys of the road team, you know, the people. Because you know how many fans are going to be building trips around that? Oh, we got to go to – oh, man. The Dolphins are going to Vegas this year. Oh, man, the Packers are going to Vegas this year. Like, they're going to look at the schedule. We got to go. Let's book it now. And that's just going to be such a cool experience. I mean, it sucks for Oakland. We understand.
It definitely sucks for Oakland.
It really sucks for Oakland. But that's going to be fun.
But it's going to be great for Vegas. It's going to be great for those who are visiting the city. You've got a double whammy. I get to gamble and party in Vegas, and then I get to go see a professional football game.
Let's listen to Marvin Lewis try to spin the Vontaze Burfict stuff. He is facing a 5-game suspension for an illegal hit, launching his helmet towards the head and neck area of a Chiefs player in a preseason game. So he's appealing this 5-game suspension. We'll see if it gets knocked down. He's probably one of the few players in the NFL that would get 5 games for that hit because of his track record. But he just can't do something like that if you're Vontaze Burfict at this point. It's just totally unnecessary. So Marvin Lewis tried to spin it And this is what he had to say.
When we were taught to play football, we played football without our helmet as part of the end of the play. That we were taught to tackle that way, and that's the thing that we've continued to reinforce. That's where football has changed. And you can see guys changing. And in my opinion, Vontaze has changed. He's learned. He's changed. He's that. But he's a 250-pound man that hits like a dynamite. I mean, it's like hitting by a cement truck.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But also, I mean, on a hit like that, the guy who's not look, you don't need to do that if you're Vontaze Burfict. You have to just, whether you agree with the rule or not, that hit is going to get you in trouble if you're Vontaze
right.
Burfict.
I don't agree with the rule. And as I stated yesterday, that used to be allowed. Now it's not. So it's not the rule anymore. You can't freely hit those guys. You would think the running back would come out and protect himself and know there's going to be a linebacker right there to clock you when you're that close to the line of scrimmage and call that route a little F angle. And so you should know that. Anybody crossing the middle of the formation should know that, but he didn't, and that's the rule now. If you are an unprotected player and you're not getting the ball, they're going to throw a flag each and every time. That's the new lay of the land. Get that through your head because I thought it was a fine hit. He didn't go head hunting. But if he's a defenseless player in today's game, they're going to get you each and every time, especially if you're Vontaze Burfict. Coach, you're right. It's like a Mack truck, but that's not allowed anymore. The game has changed. The rules have changed. You have to now adjust.
Miko Grimes is someone we've talked about a lot on this show. Miko Grimes is on a couple reality shows right now. She was a part of Hard Knocks with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also on a show called Baller Wives on VH1.
No, I haven't seen that.
Neither have I.
Is it just football?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I just know that Miko Grimes and a guy that we've had on our show, Channing Crowder, they were on an episode.
He's a hoot. So let's look up Baller Wives. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Channing Crowder works for 560 WQAM, which is one of our stations at CBS.
They take very good care of me.
That's right. My old program director, Ryan McGuire, works down there. He talks like Johnny Carson. So, man, Channing, did you see Channing on Baller Wives last night? He probably was telling him unbelievable stuff. So Miko Grimes also used to work for that 560 WQAM.
That was before she got arrested.
Yes.
At the Dolphins game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then before they moved to Tampa, because that's where Brent went. So here's Channing Crowder and Miko Grimes on Baller Wives, and Channing Crowder had some things to say to Miko face-to-face.
If you were so talented, you would have a job right now. There's four radio stations in South Florida. You got fired from one of them. There's three more.
Ouch.
Take that.
In the face.
In the face is right.
Ouch. If you were so talented.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, well.
Ballers wives. I bet it's all about drama and confrontational.
What makes you think that?
Oh, gosh. These shows. They make money, though. People love watching this stuff. It's like watching Maury Povich all the time, or Jerry Springer. Is Jerry Springer still on television?
I think so, yeah. I think he is.
I just don't understand the attraction to watching stuff like this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Every now and then, if there's a conflict, fine. But all the damn time?
Yeah, you're right. And my wife watches these things constantly. I don't understand. Watches the reunion shows. It's hell on earth for me. The reality shows, I'll watch reality shows that are different, though. And if, by the way, the visual of this is great. I don't know if Mikey B wants to tweet it out, but, you know, Miko and Brent, they're just, like, totally stunned by Channing Crowder saying that.
Oh, really?
You've got no talent.
Channing is a creepy-looking dude.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree. Like, if he showed up and knocked at the door in the middle of the night, I'd probably immediately soil myself.
Now, I don't see Brent. Oh, Brent's in this episode, but I don't see him in the picture they have of all the people involved.
This is just the visual of it. There's Channing, and then Miko's caught off guard.
Oh, there's Brent. Brent, like, damn, you just said that to my woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you did.
You know what?
Honey? He is right.
I'm always skeptical about that stuff, though, because, you know, I mean, maybe they probably are friends. Who knows?
Oh,
you know
they played together. They were teammates.
Yeah, right. But I'll watch that.
Don't say that to my woman.
Wicked Tuna. That show's that's like a reality show.
I like that.
But I mean, there's something there that's interesting to me because they're catching these fish, you know?
Like, the Incredible Dr. Paul, that's a reality show.
I'll get into that.
I'd rather watch that than Basketball Wives or Baller Wives, whatever the hell it's called.
One reality show that's on Bravo, which is like the reality show king, is Below Deck. I'll watch that one because it's a yacht crew.
Yeah.
And there's some drama on that one, but it's still a yacht crew. You know, they entertain, and then they're docking. They're doing stuff that's...
You are into
boats. I'm into that.
You're a skipper. I watch on Bravo Million Dollar Listing.
Oh, yeah, because you're
two
a
Joshes.
Millionaire.
Yep. No. I've spent about... I've spent a lot. Yeah. But that show is interesting. I'm starting to get into Million Dollar Listing New York now.
Yeah.
But
like the Real Housewives and stuff, that's not for you.
Well, the first one. The original one I watched back in Orange County, the one that started it all back in the day.
You did watch, so you do like this stuff.
No, I watched that one, but that was it. After that, and I stopped watching it because it got too confrontational.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest difference in between my wife and I is probably as I'm scrolling through my head as far like her love of reality shows and my disdain for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't be in the same room with some of these.
I agree.
Because it frustrates me so much.
I'm the same way.
Like I have to go upstairs or go outside when she's watching it on her DVR. If I come home and she's there watching one of them, she knows to like turn it off because it's just going to put me in a bad mood.
So Michael Vick is on this deal.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Baller Wives. Not a thing. And I'm glad. Yeah. Except that Jan and Crowder is on there.
I do now. Sante Samuel, I assume.
Sante Samuel.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know this Chris dude.
Wouldn't it be funny if like, whoa, I'm on there.
No.
I didn't realize that. Oh, man.
Who is Julius? Julius Jones. That's the running back, right?
Yeah,
wasn't he a running back?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Cowboys. Yeah. Remember Julius? All right.
So now you're into Baller Wives.
No, I'm not. I'm never going to watch this.
Okay.
I'm just trying to see who... Yeah, I was right. It was Sante Samuel. I'm just trying to see who these folks are. Okay. Who's this Chris dude? Oh, Chris Chambers, former wide receiver. I think he played at Wisconsin. Yeah, okay. So life after football.
No, Winfred Tubbs.
Yeah, I'd love to see Winfred on here. That would be funny.
Coming up next, it's a big day for us as we try to track down Tony Romo. We'll tell you all about it next.
It's the show that Ray Lewis blocked on Twitter. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Bogish is back, and he's got an update for us. What's happening, Bogish?
Guys, St. Louis Cardinals third baseman Matt Carpenter is from Galveston, Texas. He is donating $10,000 to Hurricane Harvey relief efforts for every homer he hits the rest of the season.
That's well hit. How about 10 grand? Off the bat of Carpenter.
As heard on Fox Sports Midwest, Carpenter, a two-run shot and a 10-2 victory in Milwaukee.
That was the most meaningful homer I've hit in my career just because of what it means for families down in Houston. I mean, that was a $30,000 swing.
It's 30 grand because the Cardinals and Adam Wainwright are each matching Carpenter's donation. A-Rod and J-Lo donating a combined $50,000 to the relief efforts. J.J. Watt's online fundraising has surpassed $5 million. And as you know, the Astros forced to host the Rangers in Tampa Bay this week. Texas won their opener last night 12-2. Roughly 3,400 fans were in attendance. Say one hitter from Dylan Bundy.
Tampa sucks.
Two solo
3,400 people show up. And you're not there to see the damn game. You're there to show some compassion, help serve another major city, and that's all they get. And I know they don't show up for their home team. But come on, really? 3,400 people? Really?
Yeah,
you stink.
This one's different for me. I normally would say I don't really care what people are going to do. It's their choice if they want to go. But after you heard about how the proceeds were going to go to the relief, you'd think more people would say, all right, it's what, Tuesday night? We don't have much going on. Why don't we go to the ballpark for a good cause?
Nothing else, maybe drive up to the outskirts of the stadium and make a donation, whatever. I'm not asking you to give a lot, whatever you have. But for 3,400 people to show up, that's just sad.
Yeah, it's sort of apathy.
Tampa, I hope nothing ever happens to you. Nothing.
Is this a karma thing? You're still teaching me about karma these days.
Pisses me off. I heard that. 3,400 people.
Yeah, it was actually shocking this morning when I read it that it was
sad like, commentary.
Because usually, because I feel like people have been doing really an amazing job with the support of Houston. So, I mean, every story you hear is a real positive one. So I expected it to be another one of those. I really did think that you'd have a lot of people and it would be another one of those nice moments.
3,400 people. And you got at least one team that's going to be in the playoffs in the Houston Astros. You get two teams that get come to your stadium that you ordinarily don't get to see. And it's for a damn good cause. And no one shows up.
A one-hitter from Dylan Bundy, two solo shots from Manny Machado, and the Orioles' sixth straight win, 4-0 over Seattle. The O's stay a game and a half behind the Twins for the second AL wild card. Meanwhile, fourth straight loss now for the team managed by
Scott Servais.
The Mariners are three games behind the Twins, who beat the White Sox last night 6-4.
Scott Servais.
The Angels down the A's 8-2 in Boston. Blank Toronto 3-0. Red Sox lefty Chris Sale became the fastest pitcher to 1,500 career strikeouts. The Diamondbacks held off the Dodgers 7-6. The Rockies beat the Tigers 7-3. And
Scott Servais.
John Carlos Stanton did it again.
Pitch. Stanton swings. He drives a ball high and deep. This is a no-doubter again for Stanton. It is up, up and away. And number 51, an RBI number 109. Stanton's done it again, and it didn't take long tonight.
Dave Van Horn, Marlins Radio. 18 homers tie the August record. Stanton has 2 days to match Sammy Sosa's single month mark of 20. In June of 98, the Nats won that game, though, last night, 8-3 over his Marlins. Ezekiel Elliott's appeal hearing now expected to extend into tomorrow. Arbitrator Harold Henderson needs to follow his decision by Tuesday afternoon to have Elliott actually miss Dallas's opener with the Giants. We knew the Browns wanted to trade Brock Osweiler, but they are now reportedly shopping corner Joe Haden as well. He's owed nearly $33 million over the next three seasons. And Roger Federer is through to round two of the U.S. Open, barely beating 19-year-old American Francis Tiafo in 5 sets last night. Guys,
a couple times a year, we head over to the CBS TV headquarters to loiter and wait for people to join us so we can get interviews.
Please talk to us.
Yeah, so this NFL one is today. So it's with the NFL, and it's also for the NCAA tournament. So the NFL one, we go over to Black Rock. We sit in a room. There are snacks there for us. Sean McManus, the head of CBS
quinoa.
Sports. Yeah, there's some quinoa. There's some sandwiches, a little bit of salad. It's probably the same thing. Maybe a bottle of water as well. So we sit there. Sean McManus, the head of CBS Sports, talks about how excited they are, gives you a bunch of numbers about how great that they are. And then it's like us and the cast of Where the Wild Things Are that are listening to Sean McManus, because you get like all these media reporters.
Who's the one dude that always has the dumbass question?
Lloyd Carroll is
Shut
his name.
Shut the hell up.
He's the worst human.
I'm going to throw a sandwich at him
he
today.
He is, throw more than that
Shut
at him.
Up.
Throw a chair at him.
Yeah.
I mean, he.
Stupid question.
It was so bad last year that one of the CBS PR people pulled him aside afterwards and just crushed him. The guy's the worst. He works for something called the Queen's Chronicle, and he used to hand out his column to people, like in person, and one of the people he used to hand the column to was one of our bosses, Mark Chernoff, and I'm not kidding you. He would hand Chernoff the column, and Chernoff right in front of him would go, crumple it up and throw it back at him.
I knew there was a reason I liked Mr. Chernoff.
I mean, this is how annoying this guy is.
Yeah.
And somehow we always end up at his table. Like, we'll sit at a different table every year, and somehow this guy ends up at our table, sits down. And then his other buddy, Ashley Sarge, he sits down, too. And it's like, oh, the two of them are talking, and they just love, I mean, they're comparing notes on the free food or whatever press conference they were at prior to that.
Ugh.
Oh, it's just terrible. So anyway, so then we go from there, and we sit. And we loiter for, like, hours. And we just sit there and sit there and sit there.
2 hours, I'll never get back.
It's sitting and sitting and waiting and waiting. And then, you know, they bring people over. And then they bring people over that we don't care about. And then it's weird because we have to, like, pretend that we care about them. And then interview them. And then never use the audio just to be able to get the bigger names. It's just one big mess. So this year, it's really, really different. Because there's one guy there that everybody wants to talk to. And I'm telling you now that if we don't talk to this guy, I will pick up Lloyd Carroll and I will body slam him on top of every CBS PR person. I will use him like a bowling ball.
I want to see this.
And I will roll him to knock down the pins of the CBS PR staff. Because I don't care. I've got nothing to lose at this point. Really, I don't. Because we're not going to be part of CBS any longer. So the relationship already sucks between us and TV. So, like, who cares? We better get Tony Romo. We better talk to this guy. And we've already nicely, through different channels, said it's really important to us.
Well, you guys asked nicely. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go up there, and for no reason other than trying to do good radio, to get good content on the air. You know, there's no other benefit for us to go up there. So Romo, I mean, it's got to happen. So if they don't, if they give us some runaround and we don't get Tony Romo, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem. So,
well,
you're more intimidating. You're more intimidating than me. So I need you with me on this.
Really?
I'll go berserk. You just need to stand behind me. Can I count on you standing behind me?
I'll be behind you like, yeah. Well, he said, yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
I got his back.
I mean.
Yeah. What'd you say, Mr. McMahon? Okay. Bye, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, what does it matter? I mean, the show is. Obviously, you're important to them, but we're, as a program, are not important.
Well, I put my foot down. I laid the smack down. We want Romo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens.
Nothing. Now is Phil Sims going to be at this thing too?
Yes.
He's a part of NFL today?
Yes.
That's going to be weird.
Why? This is Phil Sims.
Why? What do you mean, why?
Phil is over that.
You know what I want? Boy. You know, I'm going to get greedy now. I want Phil and Romo at the same time.
Oh!
That's what I want.
Damn.
Yeah, see now?
That'll get interesting.
Right.
This is Phil Sims.
Now, Phil, when you look at Romo,
yeah.
The fact that now he sits in the chair that you sat in for such a long time, what are the first thoughts that come to mind?
The joys and heartbreaks of sports expected here.
I want to choke that mouthfather.
All right, we're going to play some word association, Phil. I'm going to say a couple words. You tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Job stealer. Backstabber.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? No? Okay.
When I say fragile quarterback, what comes to mind?
Oh, why not? Just try to make this entertaining for ourselves. It was so bad one year with the waiting because, I mean, this is what I love, too. You know, we're part of CBS. They'll do every other entity before they get to us. Like, we're like the last rung on. We're the crumb at the bottom. So we'll sit in this hallway with these chairs, right, while everybody else is in the cool area with the TV. And then, you know, every TV station, NBC, ABC, everybody else is not affiliated with them. They'll do these little stupid questions and these sound bites with these guys, right? You know, who do you think's going to go to the Super Bowl? Tony, who do you think's going to go to the Super Bowl? Going to be the Cowboys?
We get nothing from Tony.
The Cowboys?
Nothing from
Tony. So then, and then we have to put up with that nonsense. And then finally, once they're done with that and they're exhausted and don't want to hang around anymore, then we get them. They sit down and we gotta like put the jumper cables on their nipples just to get something out of them.
JB's always good.
Yeah, he's good, but he's a pro.
And Bill Cowher's always good.
Yeah, it takes a while to get Cowher going. Mm-hmm. Takes a while. He ends up being good, but it takes a while.
Hi, I'm Ian Eagle.
Well, he's an easy one. That's about my favorite part about this is Ian Eagle is there to get the joke around with him prior to everything because he doesn't want to be there either. So it was so bad a couple years ago when we were waiting. Mikey B had interviewed the restaurant staff, the catering staff,
yeah,
for this event.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this?
Yeah.
Now, what's the
Russian dude, was it?
What's the one interview that you have that we did? Because we were so bored by the loitering there that you got, who was it, the chef you ran into?
I ran into the chef. I ran into somebody that works in the mail room.
Yeah, so which one do you have here? Do you know? Let's just play it. Who cares if you don't know who it is? Let's just play the thing. This is Mikey B interviewing someone who was just hanging around because we needed to kill time before they actually gave us somebody to interview.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing going on right now? This is just recorded. You don't have to run away. I'm not that scary. This is just for record. What's your name, sir?
Mohammed.
And what are you doing here in this building?
Delivery FedEx.
Anything fun in there, like chocolate chip cookies or a panda?
No, regular coffee, nice coffee, no, for the CBS.
Is it intimidating being around all these famous people that played football and make a lot of money?
You know, this for here, they make a good, it's a good, they have a good business here. People like to come, you know, they have a nice order here, nice people, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I like to work with them because they're very nice, they have a nice coffee, definitely, you know.
Okay, I will agree with that. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What is up with your interview voice?
Yeah, I know. Like, you start to become the accent chameleon.
You know? I get that from my dad.
This is just for record.
I can't help it. It comes out.
For record.
Maybe we'll find some more people today.
Oh, my God. We're gonna
is
have
it
to
intimidating
do
being around all these famous people that played football and make a lot of money?
Such a jerk. I can't stand it. Oh, man. We're going to have to do more of that today to just keep us, like, awake and alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then poor Dave Marinick, who's, like, you know, the secondhand man around here. You know, he's just...
He's Robin.
He's like the pilot fish on the whale. You know, he's like that small fish that has to, like, follow the shark around, you know? Like, that's what he is. So he's got to go to this thing. You know, he doesn't want any part of this thing. And he's just got... And if something goes wrong, you know, he's the one who has to fix it. You know, so he's all nervous, just hanging around us. You guys need anything? Oh, what's going on? Oh, let me go. You got headphones? He's just all sweating bullets. And it's like, for what? You know, why everybody relax?
Well, yeah. One day a year, he wears a suit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he shows up. He dresses to the nines for this event.
And it's not wrinkled.
Yeah, he dresses to the nines. Oh, man. I tell you.
It'll be fun.
On my ass. Fun.
Thank God I'm off.
Thanks for the time.
For the rest of the week. Set me right into the weekend with this one. Oh, man. Nothing. You pretend like you care about the PR people who walk in there just because, like, you have to have a good relationship with them. I just leave that stuff to Mike and Brian. I'm just so quiet. Just head down, right for the sandwiches, sit down, try to avoid Lloyd Carroll.
Is it intimidating being around all these famous people that played football and make a lot of money?
That voice.
It's so disgusting.
What is that?
I don't know. He'll do it again today, too.
Is it intimidating to be around these people make so much money?
And make a lot of money.
Make a lot of money.
Make a lot of money.
Make you turn into a little girl or something.
Weird.
What is that?
Very weird.
Is this the only time you do that?
It's broadcasting, baby. You
what's
could learn
name,
a thing
sir?
Or two, Beach.
Okay.
We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Paulie Malignaggi of Showtime, the boxer and commentator, made a lot of noise leading up to McGregor Mayweather, and he still is making a ton of noise because he wants to fight Conor McGregor. He wants to have a full-blown fight, one that everybody could see, because after that sparring match that they had, he felt like it wasn't fair because he didn't put out all the video, and now he feels vindicated because Floyd won, which I don't know how you could really feel vindicated because
right.
He's Floyd Mayweather and you're Paulie Malignaggi. And I like Paulie Malignaggi, I do. But he's going for it. He's swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
And I think that part of him really does want to defend his honor, but I think most of him wants to defend his bank account.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity for him to cash in. Not cash in like $100 million, but he could make a couple million dollars if he fought Conor McGregor easy.
Right.
So he's going to try to go ahead and do this. Will this fight happen? I would be floored if there's enough interest in McGregor Malignaggi. I think that it's over with. The only reason why he was interesting prior to leading up to this fight was because he actually boxed Conor McGregor, and we never saw Conor McGregor box. Now we've seen
right.
him box. We saw what he is.
He was
nobody's interesting anymore.
He was our eyes and ears, so he gave us a blow-by-blow account, pun intended, by being in the ring with him, by sparring with him. But other than that, no, you don't want to see this fight.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, listen, I'd probably watch it just because I'm probably now more into boxing than I have been in a long time. The event that I was at, seeing the boxers, it's cool. You have Canelo and Triple G coming up, which is a fight that everybody wanted to see. So I'm into it. So I mean, if it's a fight that doesn't happen, am I going to be disappointed? No. I mean, not even one bit. I'll probably end up, whoever McGregor ends up fighting next in UFC, I'll probably end up checking that out. I definitely will do that because I'm interested in him. But Malinachi McGregor, I mean, you can't. What would the pay-per-view number on that be? Like $20, $30.
I had never heard of Paulie Malignaggi.
We had him on the show, didn't we?
I know we had him on the show, but until
we didn't have him on the show. You sure about that?
100% positive.
What did we have on the show? Who was the guy that came in here? The boxer,
Miletic.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd never heard of Malignaggi. I wasn't aware of the gent.
I think I had him on a Saturday show then. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
But I definitely had him on at some point.
I had no idea who he was until all this stuff happened, this spectacle took place.
Paulie.
There you go, Paulie.
He is entertaining, the guy, though. He's funny. He's a funny guy. He talks.
Well, it's not that, because he was doing the broadcast. He was doing the broadcast.
Yeah, I didn't hear the broadcast, Brian, because I was at the fight.
I was just about to say
that. Yeah, so I didn't hear it. So can you tell me about the broadcast?
Yeah, excuse me.
It's when you're there, you can't hear it.
And Bernstein.
Yeah. Al Bernstein.
Yeah, they were about to get into it.
They were
conflicting as far as who was doing what and who was winning. And not just that, not just the main event, but the other matches as well.
Really?
They were pretty entertaining. So if he wants to do some more broadcasting with Bernstein, that'd be cool.
Well, they do. Yeah, he's part of that. He's part of that crew.
Well, that was interesting and very entertaining to listen to.
Why? What was the discrepancy that the two had?
They just saw the fighters and differently.
Who had what?
I don't remember who had who and all that, but it was not just Mayweather-McGregor, but the fights prior to that. Those fights on the undercard, there was some discrepancy as to who was winning, who was doing what between those two.
You know, I saw but couldn't get to, and I would have loved to talk to him while I was there, was T. Wood, Tyrone Woodley.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
he was on the Fox Sports set.
How did you not get to T. Wood, man?
Because he was in like an enclosed structure on the Fox set.
Oh,
I couldn't get over
there. Threw some coins at him or something. T. Wood,
I'm not throwing coins at Tyrone Woodley. Kidding me?
But the glass structure he was ensconced in.
I also saw that that woman who hosts that Fox show that I've seen you take a liking to, Kate Abdo, remember her? She was on there. I'll pull up a picture.
Oh, doing the soccer stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the English chick.
Yeah. She was hosting.
How was it in person?
It was, like I said, it was hard to see around the glass structure, but I recognized her. I said, yeah, that's right. Brian spent a whole day trying to find out who that was.
Yeah, during the World Cup.
What's your name, man?
I'm over.
What's your name?
See, I'd forgotten about her. Why you bring that back up?
Well, because I just was reminded of that. That's where I saw T. Wood.
Trying to move on.
Yeah. trying to move on from Kate Abdo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done with her.
So Dana White and the UFC announced yesterday that the people that could not watch the fight on the stream, the UFC.tv stream that paid for it, well, they're actually going to get some refunds back. So, and it happened very quickly, and I don't know how many people ended up having this issue or how many people can prove that they had this issue too, but they did the right thing, and like right away, we're talking about Tuesday. It happened yesterday. They sent out a tweet saying, we're going to refund you the money, which I thought was a really good thing.
How much was the stream?
Yeah, I don't know how much it was, but it definitely wasn't $100.
Great,
right?
No, it couldn't have been, could it? Good thing that they did handle this quickly and swiftly. So kudos to UFC and Dana White for doing that.
Yeah, let's see. UFC.tv stream cost. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this quickly, but
don't worry about it.
Yeah, I guess I don't have to worry about it. I'm kind of curious now to ask me, though.
I'm just glad that they rectified the situation or are attempting to do that.
And all the people that put up all that money to see Mayweather win and just to win a little bit of money, they won. So $242,000 a guy won. I think he had to put up like $1.2 million in order to win that. Okay. You had the Maloofs that put up the $880,000 on Mayweather to win something like, I don't know, $100,000. And they were giving all that money to charity.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Cool.
What do you have there, Pete?
$99.95, according to Bleacher Report.
Really?
The HD version of UFC.tv.
Well, why would you do that? And not, I guess, because for the cord cutters, maybe?
Wow.
That's a wow. So they're going to give $100 back to a bunch of people.
Well, that HD version on UFC, on those online streaming sites, if they're good, if they're a good site, usually are like TV.
Well, do we know how many people attempted to purchase the fight via the stream? Mm-hmm. Because this is now going to cut into the paycheck that McGregor and Mayweather would get.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. I haven't seen that number, but I guess the cord cutters are the ones that would end up doing it on the stream if they don't have either your cable or DirecTV, and that's how you would end up watching the thing. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. If it's streaming like Netflix streams and you have a good internet connection, then it's probably the same thing.
Yeah, right? It's just like watching television, of course. Yeah. But that, once again, is going to cut into whatever monies both of these dudes would recoup from.
I haven't seen the pay-per-view buy number, if it broke the record. I keep looking for it, but I haven't seen it. I'm really, really curious about that, too.
Oh, you are. You think you are.
Yeah.
How about the two participants?
Yeah, that's very true.
When are you going to have them numbers, the final numbers? When do they come in?
You know, do I need to send something else to Stephen Espinosa thanking him?
Other than
an email?
Did you send him? You sent him an email?
Yeah.
Did he respond?
No.
No? Another brisket?
No, I just sent him a card.
I think a card would be nice.
Flowers.
Just a card.
Just a card.
Mm-hmm. Singing telegram.
Handwritten card.
Handwritten card. Next level. Pass the email. Ooh. But you don't need to do anything else.
Handwritten card.
I send him a singing telegram, man.
Yeah, do I have his business card still, I guess is the question, that has his address on there.
Why would you lose that card?
Because it was just the generic information on there. I could probably find it.
We can ask Courtney.
Yeah, that's right, Courtney, the great Courtney, who I didn't meet out there, by the way. This is a person
Who's
I talked
Courtney?
To. The person who set up this whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, the salesperson you did meet that was very
accommodating. Should I send her something?
Yes.
She lives in Denver.
Send her something.
Send her something.
You need to keep in touch with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was
for
great.
For sure. Because you have that now, that FaceTime with her. And while we had FaceTime with Stephen Espinosa, this was more of a connection.
Yeah, you're right. No, see, I need advice on stuff like this.
Right.
I'm not good with stuff like this.
Definitely. What's her name again?
Allison something.
Allison. Make sure you reach out to Allison.
Okay.
ASAP.
I'll do it.
That's your end. We can't get Espinosa. We got Allison.
We got Allison in sales.
Don't mess it up.
Why not? All right, coming up next, Brian Baldinger joins us. Talks some football. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.